We're talking about love in life and having the right relationships. And I'd just like to kick off the message today by saying, I love life. I love life. And I think most of us today love life. If you don't love life, we have a firing squad after church. We could take care of that. That's a joke. You can laugh. I hope you think it's a joke. But I love life. I love it. I love it a lot. I love being married. I love my kids. I love spending time with my kids. Boy, this morning, looking for my son. He's not in here. Good. I shaved my 13-year-old's mustache this morning. And I just love it. You know, I just love it. And so on the way to church, we were singing songs on the way to church with the family. And we were singing songs about being saved. And we replaced it with being shaved. And so I shave, shave, shaved. I don't have hair on my lip. You know, we're just goofing around. I just love life, you know, and just having a good time. And I love being with my family. I love doing the things that we do. But let me make this statement. I love serving the Lord too, by the way. Amen. Somebody say amen. Don't you love serving the Lord? Well, I tell you, if serving the Lord is a chore to you, you need to check your heart. Amen. Check your heart. Amen. Somebody say amen this morning, because serving the Lord, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's no high like it. There's no sports events like it. There's nothing. There's no television show like it. There's nothing other than maybe eating at In-N-Out. That's the only thing close. Serving the Lord. Amen. I love it. I love it. But can I just make this statement? I love all these things, but only sometimes. How many know what I'm talking about? I love life, but not every day. Amen. Somebody help me. I love life. I do, but not all the time. And sometimes life is not all that we want it to be. And sometimes time feels like it's flying by. And sometimes the days seem like they drag on. Life can be that way. It reminds me of a skydiving instructor. He always would take time to answer all the dumb questions that people would ask before. I don't know if there's any dumb questions when you're going skydiving, but anyway. And the first time guy, he said, you know, what happens if my chute doesn't open? And then my backup chute doesn't open. He goes, how long do I have before I hit the ground? And the skydiving instructor thought about it for a minute. He said, the rest of your life. It's a slow burn, amen? The amazing thing is that our life can go from a high to a low real quick, amen? You go from everything's going great, one phone call and everything changes. One comment, everything changes. So we understand that this morning, that love in life or loving life is something that we strive for, we want to have. But we understand we all go through struggles. We all go through times where life isn't so loving or lovely, I should say. And so this morning, how do we maintain a love for life even in the difficult times? Or how do we maintain a love for life even though there aren't many things to be in love with, but yet we want to love life and we want to be happy and we want to have a good relationship with the Lord. And even though things are happening and even though things aren't always perfect, how do we stay in love with life? We understand this morning that relationships have a lot to do with love and life. If you read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, you'll notice it's dealing with what? Marriage. Marriage. And that's a relationship that's kind of important, I think, you know? And so we understand that loving life, there's relationships that are dealt with in the book of Peter and throughout the Bible. Marriage is one of them. We see that. Verse 8, finally, be all one mind, having compassion one to another. But in verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And it's talking, of course, about the husband and wife. And while that's another sermon, amen, we won't go into that today. That's a six-week series, amen, on understanding. I'm just kidding. If you take time to read 1 Peter chapter number 2, you'll see that the overall theme of 1 Peter 2 is relating with other people and having relationships. We see chapter 2, verse 17, it sums up the chapter. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And so we understand that God gives us instruction, not just suggestions, but instruction on how to develop the right kinds of relationships. So here's the message today. If you want to love life, if you want to be in love with life, you have to develop the right kind of relationships. Amen. You have to have the right kind of relationships. Relationships will hurt you if you're not developing the right kind. And so I want to give you number one this morning. Of course, the most important relationship we could talk about, number one in your notes, is this: a real relationship with Christ. A real relationship with Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you're in 3, that's only a couple pages to your left there. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1. Let's get the context of the book of Peter. Peter, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now look at verse 2. Now this is very important. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. See, why are you showing us these verses? We see that in verse 1 and 2, Peter is proclaiming himself author of the book of Peter. We know that Peter is the one who wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. And we understand that his name originally was Simon, but Jesus Christ changed it to Peter. And so we know that he wrote this book. And also we understand his office. He's the apostle Peter of Jesus Christ. But one thing I want you to notice also here is he specifically mentions who he's writing this book to, which is a word that starts with E. It is the elect. Now, for us, we're not going to get into election and all those things today. We don't have time for that. But we understand this morning, we could all understand and agree this morning that who he's talking about are those people who we would call born-again Christians. Born-again Christians, those that have accepted Christ, have chosen to follow Christ and received him as our Savior. So Peter, who's writing the book? All right, some of you are listening. How many need coffee still? I tell you, I need about another 3/4 of a cup. But who wrote the book?
Peter
wrote the book. Who did he write it to? Born again? Christians. And so we understand that 1 Peter chapter number 3, the verses that we're reading this morning, Peter is talking to who? Christians. We understand that this morning. And so what's implied here in chapter number 3 is that when Peter is saying, for he that will love life and he that will see good days, he's not just talking about any random person. He's saying he who is a born-again Christian or he who is the elect or those that have trusted Christ as their Savior after that they heard the word. They who received Jesus Christ as our Savior after they heard the word of truth, they obeyed and they received Christ. In other words, election, God foreknew who was going to get saved, but God did not choose who was going to get saved. We chose.
That's right.
For by grace are you saved through faith. All right, we'll keep moving on here. And so, for he that will love life and see good days, it is implied earlier in this letter that Peter is talking about us, those that have a relationship with Christ. And it's important that we understand this morning the most important relationship in our life is our relationship with Christ.
Right, that's right.
Are you listening today? That was a good spot to say amen, even if you don't like saying amen. The most important relationship in your life is not your spouse. The most important relationship in your life is not your girlfriend, Sam. I'm just kidding. His dad's sitting back there. You don't have a girlfriend, right? All right, keep moving on. All right, I'll just move on. The most important relationship with your life is not your best friend. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The most important relationship in your life is Christ. Christ. He is the most important. If your relationship with Christ is messed up, your relationship with your friends will be messed up. If your relationship with Christ is messed up, your relationship with your spouse, that's my spouse in the middle of those two girls, that's my spouse, it'll be messed up. If your relationship is wrong with Christ, your relationship with anyone else is going to be messed up. And so the most important relationship we have is with who?
Christ.
So how's our relationship this morning? Let me give you letter A. It must be a personal relationship. You cannot have a relationship with Christ vicariously. I hope I said that right. You can't have a relationship with Christ because somebody else does.
Right.
Well, I'm a Christian because my dad is a pastor. No, that's not how that works. Or I'm a Christian because my wife goes to church. That's not how that works. If you're going to have a relationship with Christ, it must be a what? A personal relationship with him. Let's go in our Bibles to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, if you're in Peter, go to the left, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter number 1, John chapter number 1, verse 11, excuse me, I'm going to read verse 1, John 1, 1, and I'm going to read down for a few verses here. We must have a personal relationship with Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's so much doctrine there. Boy, you could preach an entire series on that verse. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, capital W. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, the Word, and the Word, Jesus Christ, was with God. Jesus Christ and God were together. And the Word was with God. And the Word what? Was God. Oh, the deity of Christ. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Jesus Christ created all things. And without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same was for a witness to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ, capital L, that all men through him, through Jesus Christ, might believe. He was not that light. John was not Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, notice this, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Amazing. Look at verse 11. He came unto his own, and what happened? His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. This wasn't by our will. It wasn't by the will of man, but of God. Let me give you number one. We see here some very important things in these verses. Number one, this relationship with Christ is a personal choice. It's a personal choice. We have young people that come to our church on the and the bus ministry. Brother John back there is a bus driver, and his son Tommy is a bus captain. And Tommy brings kids on the bus. Sean, you're going to bring kids on the bus, and others, bus captains. And we bring kids on the bus. We cannot make them choose Christ. Can't do it. We could bribe them and give them a piece of candy if they pray a prayer, but how many understand that doesn't work?
Amen.
Everybody that wants to get saved, I'll give you a piece of candy if you pray this prayer. That doesn't work. You understand this morning, my son's not in here, but RJ, if you were my son and you grew up in my home, and I couldn't force you to have a personal relationship with Christ. Can't force him. Why? Because it's a personal what? It's a choice. It's a choice. By the way, having a relationship with Christ is a choice. It's not an automatic thing that happens.
Right.
Well, I go to church, so therefore I am a Christian. That's like saying I'm a car parked. I'm in a garage, so therefore I'm a car. No. It's a personal choice. We understand, and we see that in verse number 11. He came unto his own. Jesus Christ came unto his own. The Jewish people, they saw him. He did miracles, and yet they still received him not. And so we understand this morning that if we are to have a relationship with Christ, we must choose it on our own. It reminds me about a little boy who said, "Dad, I've heard that in some parts of the world, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her." In other words, arranged marriages. And the dad said, "Son," he said, "that happens everywhere." Amen. So anyway, let's just move on. Just because you go to church, or just because you know who God is, or just because you sit in church, doesn't mean that you have a relationship with him. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's not only a personal choice, but number two, it's a powerful choice. It's a powerful choice. Look back up at verse 12. But as many as received him, those that made that choice to receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You understand that salvation is a choice on our part, but it's God's power that makes us his son. I cannot make myself God's son. I can't say, "God, I'm your son now." That's not how it works. But when I receive Christ, his power comes upon me. The Holy Spirit comes into my life, and he makes me his son. He adopts me. I can't do that on my own. Some of us try to. Well, I'll do everything I can, Keith. I'll come to church, and I'll give a tithe. I'll give more than a tithe, and I'll serve. I'll hand out bulletins. I'll vacuum. I'll help people across the street, and I'll give people money, the poor people, and I'll do everything I can. And we try to earn our way to that relationship, but how many understand this morning that doesn't work that way?
That's right.
It's a powerful choice, because when we make the choice, we are sons of God. We become the sons of God. It's a powerful choice. You say, "Well, what about all the bad that I've done? Wouldn't God reject me because of the bad that I've done?" How many of you remember before you were saved? You had a relationship with Christ. I don't know where you were before I got saved, but I tell you, I had a dark heart, a dark heart. And many of you this morning, before you met Christ, maybe there's something, maybe you're here today and you have things in your life. You say, "But you don't understand all these things I've done. I don't think Christ would just accept me." Can I take you to another verse? Let's go to Ephesians in our Bibles. Ephesians. Look at chapter number 2 of Ephesians. What about all the bad that I've done? What about that? How would Christ accept me even though I do this and I'm this way and I think this way? Look at Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8. Look at what it says. For by what's the word?
Grace.
Oh, what a wonderful word. Grace is undeserved favor. In other words, God gives me a favor I don't even deserve. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing can stop you from the power of that choice. In other words, when I make the choice to receive Christ, there's nothing that can stop Jesus Christ from saving me. Nothing. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Right.
It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter who I am. Oh, it's a powerful choice. Let me get to letter B. It's not only a personal, it must be a personal relationship. But letter B, it must be a practical relationship. A practical relationship. Go back to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, back to our verses. Look at what it says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, when we got saved, listen, we were raised from the dead. We have a real relationship with Christ. Can I just level with you for a second? I grew up in church. I know what it's like to sit in church and not have a real relationship with Christ. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be saved, to be a child of God and have no relationship, no practical relationship with Christ. I think if all of us were honest this morning, we could think back to a time after salvation where our relationship with Christ was really non-existent. We didn't walk with Him. We didn't talk to Him. We didn't ask Him anything. We didn't say we were sorry when we sinned. There was no practical side to the relationship. And can I challenge us all this morning? Let's not have just a word, I'm a Christian, say I'm a Christian, maybe even look like a Christian, but let's have a practical relationship with Christ. It's so important that we do. Look at verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 4. To inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly, what's the next word? Rejoice. He wants us to have a practical relationship because when you do, you can rejoice and you can have a good life. You can love life, but it's not because of our circumstances. It's because of our personal relationship with Christ.
Amen.
That makes life Amen. Worth loving. He says, look at verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. We all go through those things. And verse 7, we all go through trials in our faith, being much more precious than gold. Why? Because though we're tried with fire, we might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ. Again, because of our relationship with Him, even though we go through things down here on earth and trials and temptations, because of our relationship with Him, someday we'll get to see Him again and it'll all be fine, but all because of our relationship with Him. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, by the way, I have never seen Jesus Christ physically, but I love Him today.
Amen.
Whom having not seen, we love Him. We love Him. In whom, though ye see Him not, we believe, yet rejoice. We rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Oh, because of that relationship that we have with Christ. You say, why are some people happy and other people aren't? By the way, people that are happy, that don't have a relationship with Christ, people that seem happy, that don't have a relationship with Christ, it's a false happiness. It's fake. It's a counterfeit. They may look happy, but in the dark corners of their mind, in the dark corners of their heart, there's no happiness there. How many of you have ever faked being happy? Be honest. Oh, good to see you. Yeah. How you doing? Great. Doing great. But we do that sometimes. But those that have a real deep connection, a real deep relationship with Christ, you're a born-again Christian, you've received Christ, and you're abiding in Christ, that's where love and life comes into play. Boy, because guess what? We all go through trials and heaviness and manifold temptations, such as life. But boy, when we rely on that practical relationship, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not God's plan for us to be miserable. Somebody say amen.
Man.
By the way, if you're a miserable Christian, get your act together.
Yes, come on.
I said, get your act together. If you're a miserable Christian, you have nothing to be miserable about. Your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
I said, your sins are forgiven. Somebody say amen. You're going to heaven when you die. So get it together, amen. You say, well, I'm going through things. I understand. We have to have a relationship with Christ. It's God's plan that we live in a lively hope, kept by His power, and even through seasons of heaviness and seasons of trials, we're able to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This relationship with Christ is not a pie-in-the-sky relationship. It's a real, down-to-earth, like my dad always says, rubber, where the rubber meets the road relationship. This is a real thing that we must experience with Him every day. How would you describe your relationship with Christ today? Is it non-existent? In other words, you have a knowledge of Christ. You've heard of Him. You know He was born. We celebrate Christmas, and you know he died. We talk about Good Friday, and you understand he rose from the grave. That's Easter, but your relationship with Christ is not there. You've never personally chose to accept him. Is your relationship, would you be considered distant? In other words, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've made that personal choice, but you've trusted him for salvation, but nothing's really changed in your life. It's a distant relationship. Maybe it's an uncommitted relationship. In other words, you have an on-again, off-again relationship with him. Sometimes, boy, things are going good, but then stuff happens. And it all happens to all of us, by the way. And then that relationship takes a back seat. It's an uncommitted relationship. Or is your relationship today a dedicated relationship? In other words, you know Christ personally. You spend time with him daily as you can, and you pray to him, and you come to church because you're looking forward to hearing his word preached, and we follow him and we serve him. How would you describe your relationship with Christ today? If you want to love life and you want to see good days, then you must have a relationship with Christ. Let me give you 7 quick benefits. By the way, I only have 2 points today. This is a long point, and then my next point is very quick, so don't get nervous, all right? But let me give you 7 very quick relationship with Christ. Number 1, you have total forgiveness. Amen. All your sins, past and present and future, are forgiven because Jesus was born. He died on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. You're accepted of God, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. Let me give you number 2, because you have peace with God. Peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter number 5. Because of our acceptance of him, we have peace with him. I don't know if you've ever been at variance with God, if you've ever been not a relationship with him, but you know you're going against God. I don't know if you've ever been there before. It's a scary place to be. Scary place to be. But because of salvation, we have peace with God. Number 3, you're our new creature. Amen. You're a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are not only a new creature, but we have eternal life. Whosoever believes on the Son shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As you pillow your head tonight, you'll never have to worry about being in hell 1 second. That's a benefit. Amen. That's a benefit. We don't have to worry about that. Next here, number 5, you're part of God's family. For you are all the sons of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. You and I are both the sons of God. That's a benefit. We get to be a part of his family. Number 6, you're inseparable from the love of Christ. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. You say, well, I messed up this last week. You know, one of the benefits of salvation is you can ask for forgiveness, and Jesus Christ still loves you. Amen. He still loves you. We mess up, we get away from him. And we are doing things we're not supposed to be doing. And our hearts and our minds are far from him. Guess what? Even in those times, he still loves us. Amen. What a benefit. By the way, it's nice to know that somebody loves us. We're not only inseparable from the love of Christ, but lastly, number 7, and there's many more. I just picked 7. Number 7 here is God's always with you.
Amen.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Know you not? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in your body, and everywhere you go, you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time. You're inseparable of God. Anybody here ever been in a fight? A real fight? Just John Perez. No, I'm just kidding. We've all been in a fight. You ever been in a fight by yourself? That's the worst. You're on your own. I'll never forget when I was a kid, my family, we lived next to a church. And we lived in an apartment complex, and in the parking lot for the church, there was a fence and a parking lot. And I would go play in the parking lot in Wisconsin when it would snow. The snow didn't go away until springtime. And so it just kept piling up higher and higher. So I'd go out there, I'd play. I remember I was out there playing in the snow one day, and these 4 kids walked up to me. No words were exchanged. Nothing. I was in 4th grade. No words were exchanged, Matthew. A kid just walked up to me and just punched me right in the face. And I wanted to hit him back, but then I realized I'm the only one here against 4 guys. Boy, being in a fight by yourself, you say, what did you say? I didn't say anything. They just didn't like the way my face looked, I guess. But anyway, we understand being in a fight, you want to have somebody with you. Guess what? God's with us all the time.
Amen.
He's with us all the time. Now, don't go fighting with people, amen? But God's with you all the time, amen? What a blessing. Benefits of being saved. Let me give you number 2. Not only do we have a right relationship with Christ, if we want to love life and see good days, not only do we have a right relationship with Christ, a real relationship with him, number 2 is we need to have right relationships with others. With others. Look at verse 8 in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. I dare say, I think you would agree with me, that most of our stress, most of our issues and problems, most of the depression we face, unhappiness, is rooted in some sort of relationship problem. I think if we sat down and we thought about it, we could really come up with the conclusion that relationships have a big effect on our lives. You know, the Bible has a lot of instruction on our relationships. We can experience unhappiness because of a boss. Just look at Brother Asprelli. Only one person laughed. Are you unhappy, Brother Asprelli? No, I'm just kidding. You can have you can be upset because of a boss or maybe a coworker. You could have problems because of customers that you work with. Maybe you could experience stress because of a marriage or the kids, or extended family could be a problem sometimes. We can experience depression because of a lost relationship or an estranged loved one, and on I could go. We can experience frustration and anger, bitterness, all because of a relationship. So what do we do? For most of us, moving into a cave in the mountains and becoming a hermit is not an option, right? For most of us. And so we have to learn how to biblically respond to these relationships. If you have a relationship with Christ, then we move on to having these relationships with other people. How do we do that? The Bible specifically addresses, specifically, directly or indirectly, every relationship in your life. Did you know that? Every relationship in your life, the Bible has instruction for. Look at, let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 1 through 3. Now listen to what these verses say. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at verse 3. It's an interesting statement that Peter makes. According to his divine power, hath given unto us how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. In other words, what Peter's saying is, God has given us everything that we need to know in this book right here. That's what he's saying. Everything that you need for life and for godliness comes from this book right here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everything we need comes from here. You say, what does that mean, practically speaking? The Bible speaks to every relationship in your life, your marriage, your family, your friends, dealing with your parents as a child through obedience, and when you get older. It talks about extended family, how to deal with your coworkers. You don't believe me? It's in the Bible. How to deal with your boss. It even talks about how to deal with your in-laws. We need to read that. Amen, Brother Padilla. How to deal with your in-laws. How to deal with fellow Christians. It talks about the poor, the rich. It talks about your neighbor. It talks about dealing with your enemy and your frenemy. Amen. It talks about all these different things, and the list goes on and on. The Bible gives you all the instructions you need for your relationship. And here's the good news this morning. Most of our relationships can be solved. Most of our relationship problems can be solved if we take a biblical view.
That's right. Amen.
If we obey the Bible. See, I don't believe that. How many believe that the Bible has power?
Oh, yes.
How many believe that Jesus Christ has power?
Amen.
How many believe the Holy Spirit has power?
Amen.
When you read the Bible and you obey it, it has power in your life. And so most of our relationship problems, I dare say all of our relationship problems can be solved when we center those relationships around Christ. Peter says this. He says in our text, he says, be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of one mind. In other words, Peter says right off the bat, align your life with people who think biblically.
Amen.
Align your life with people who think biblically. What is that practically speaking? Now I'm going to get a little bit personal here for just a second. I only have a few minutes, and so you can be mad at me and then go eat in and out and you'll forget all about it. All right? If you're dating someone who's not a Christian, who doesn't think biblically, what this means, practically speaking, is give them an opportunity to accept Christ, maybe share the gospel with them, pray with them, and help them understand who Christ is. But if they reject the Bible as truth, if they reject Christ, you need to sever the relationship. That's what that means, practically speaking. In other words, we need to align our life with people who think biblically. You say, Pastor, you're telling me how to live. I'm not telling you how to live. The Bible does. Amen? There's other scriptures. Be not equally yoked, unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so we understand. Let me give you another practical example. If you have a friend who is not a Christian, who does not think biblically, tell them about Christ. Invite them to church with you. Refuse, though, to align yourself with their godly inactivities and their godly thinking. In other words, when they start speaking ungodly things and ungodly philosophy, don't agree with them. Doesn't mean you have to hit them with the Bible, you know. Here, come here for a second. Whack, you know, doesn't mean that. But it means we don't align ourselves with them, and we invite them to church. We don't go to activities where they're doing things they should not be doing. And so, and if they won't, by the way, I think, this is what I think personally, that if you have friends that don't think biblically and you invite them to church and you try to get them to come and they won't come, either one of two things are going to happen. Either they're going to accept Christ because of you, or they're going to reject you because of Christ. One of two things are going to happen. Some of us in the room, some folks in the room were saved out of a life with a lot of worldly friends, a lot of friends that weren't Christians, and they will tell you, boy, after I got saved and started going to church, all of a sudden my friends started peeling off one by one.
That's right.
And here's the thing. It's not saying that you kick everyone to the curb. No, you pray for them, and you help them, and you show them the gospel. Invite them to church. But listen, align yourself with people that think biblically.
Amen.
You want to love life? I said, do you want to love life?
Amen.
You want to see good days? Align with people that think biblically. Align with people that think biblically. Practically speaking, if your coworkers or your extended family or your neighbors, and the list goes on and on, we find ourselves in many different kinds of relationships and all kinds of different things. But listen, if we want to love life and we want to see good days and we don't want to be frustrated and angry, listen, align your relationships around Christ. And center your relationships on Christ. Let me give you letter B here. We must have not only Christ-centered relationships, but we need to have compassion-centered relationships. Look at what Peter says. He says, be of one mind. So in other words, be of one mind. Be in agreement around Christ. And notice what he says next. Having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. Have compassion-centered relationships. Here's a simple formula for you to remember. You ready? This is very simple. Selfishness equals unhappiness.
That's right.
Selfishness equals what?
Unhappiness.
Boy, it's so true.
Yes, sir.
Boy, it's so true. I don't know about you, but I've been selfish. Anybody else? I've been selfish. And selfishness can take forms all kinds of ways. But I tell you, the more selfish we are, the more self-focused we become, the more unhappy we become. You want to love life? Center your life around compassion. Have compassion. Now, this is assuming or taking for granted here that I'm in a relationship with Christ, not just a personal relationship with Him, but a practical relationship with Him. If you have that personal relationship, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're living in a practical relationship with Christ, you're walking every day, then live in a compassion, with a compassion focus. Well, you focus on ourselves. Well, my this and my that. You're going to find yourself not loving life. The most unhappy people are the most self-focused people.
That's right.
When your relationships are centered on what people can do for you, if your relationships are centered on how people make you feel, if your relationships are centered on people making you happy, then guess what? You'll spend your life being unhappy. Peter says this, have compassion, love, love people, be pitiful. That doesn't mean be pitiful like we think of it. Oh, I'm pitiful. No, what it means is be full of pity. It means to feel sorrow for others, to sympathize and to help with them. Be courteous. In other words, be polite and have grace and be nice. Boy, I tell you, we struggle with these things sometimes, but listen, you want to be happy, just determine. I'm going to love others. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be courteous. When we do that, you'll find that you love life a lot more. There's nothing like helping other people. How many of you have ever helped somebody who was broken down on the side of the road? Anybody? Don't you feel great after you help somebody?
Absolutely.
I tell you, I don't know about you, but my schedule's full. My schedule's full. I have to make time for things. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Your schedule's full. And sometimes I'll pass somebody on the street, and God will bring along an opportunity that I to give the gospel to someone. And you know what? And my initial thought is this. It's a selfish thought. I don't have time. I just don't have time. I got things to do. I got to get here. I got to do that. But I tell you, when I take the opportunity and I take the time to give a gospel tract or share the gospel, I don't always do. I should. But when I do, I tell you, I'm loving life. I'm loving life.
Amen.
Boy, if I take that opportunity, Brother Renison, and I just take some time to have compassion on somebody, to listen to somebody, somebody's story, and to pray with them, boy, I find that I'm loving life. But when I'm selfish, and it's all about me, I'm hating life. I'm hating life. Peter says this. He says, listen, have compassion. Love, be pitiful, be courteous. We ought to dedicate our lives as Christians to having compassion for others. I'm going to close, but how many today say, Pastor, I have a desire in my life to love life. I want to love life. I want to love life. How many today have a passion for life? You want to live life to the fullest and don't waste your life and have life again. We have three more weeks in this series, a lot more principles to cover. But the basics here are this. Number one, have a real relationship with Christ. Maybe you're here, you don't have a real relationship with Him. Have a practical relationship with Him. And number two, align all of your other relationships around Christ. When you do that, that's a good place to start with loving life. Every head bowed and every eye closed.